All right, let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for all the men that are here this morning. And Father, yet there are others that, Lord, I just pray that you'd impress upon their hearts the importance of being in Sunday school and just to learn and study from your word. Be with me now, Father, as I bring forth this lesson. Just help me, Lord, to do a good job bringing forth the truth of your word. I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as many of you know, I've spent the last few days moving, okay? And in fact, this pulpit is going to serve a dual purpose, okay? It helps keep me organized, but it also is going to help keep me vertical instead of horizontal. And so I will lean on it this morning. And consequently, and you know, I'm sure you've all had this experience after you move, that you can't find things. You know, what box is it in? Yeah. In fact, I had to run over to, I think it was like the men's warehouse to get some ties, because I can't find any of my ties. So I had to buy a tie last night. And consequently, one of the things that I can't find and can't figure out how to get to was my lesson for this morning. And but not to worry, gentlemen, because I have, for the last 6 months, I've been carrying around a Sunday school lesson in my Bible for use in an emergency. Now, I envisioned that it might be, you know, Enoch, maybe sick, can't make it, whatever. I didn't know that I would be the one having the emergency. But isn't it nice to know that God is in control? And because of that, I think we can safely assume that what I'm going to teach this morning is what he would have for us this morning, you know? So I'm not sweating it. And so today, we're going to be in the book of Philemon. We're going to take a break from our series that we've been in, and we're going to look at the book of Philemon, and we're going to consider the story of one particular figure in the Bible, a man who came to know the Lord, and his life was completely changed and did some really great things for God. And the person I'm speaking of, as I'm sure you've probably already guessed, is Onesimus. Okay? What's that, Ken? You figured it out. So we're gonna look a little bit at the life of Onesimus this morning in the book of Philemon, and so we'll get to the certain passages that I will look at here shortly. But first, I just want to kind of summarize a little bit about Philemon, about Onesimus. Okay, so Onesimus was a runaway slave, okay? That was Onesimus. And you know, during the Roman Empire, enslaved people fell into two categories, okay? They could be bondservants, which were essentially indentured servants, okay? So the bondservant would owe a family a debt, and then once the debt was paid, then they would be free. And then in Jewish culture, you know, every 50 the year of Jubilee, where debts were canceled, which I really wish that we had that custom here in the United States, you know. But so that played a part in that. Now, the other kind of slavery is more along the lines of what we think of today as slavery. It's kind of like human trafficking. Slaves were just property, they could be bought and sold, okay? So that's kind of the traditional kind of slavery that we think of. Now, in the Roman Empire, it's estimated that between 25 and 40% of the population of the Roman Empire were made up of slaves, okay? A lot of people don't realize that, but just incredible how many were slaves. And so to be a Roman citizen was a real privilege. So Onesimus, his master, was Philemon. And Philemon, he was a wealthy Roman citizen from Colossae, and he was a leader in the Colossian church. And Onesimus, for whatever reason, he ran away from Philemon, so perhaps he owed Philemon some money, or maybe even stole some money from Philemon, and he ran away. We don't really know for sure. Scripture doesn't reveal exactly why he did that. But somehow, while Onesimus was on the run, he meets the Apostle Paul, okay? He meets the Apostle Paul around the time that Paul was in prison, so this could be around the year A.D. 61, most likely in Rome, because that's where Paul was. And, you know, it kind of makes sense when you think about it for why Onesimus would want to go to Rome, because why? It's a big city. Crowded, lots of people. He can just blend into the crowd, okay? Instead of, you know, some small little town where he could be spotted, you know, and they would know that he's a stranger. And so Onesimus meets Paul, and his life is forever changed, and he accepts Christ as his Savior, okay? That is amazing. And so Paul, he taught Onesimus, and Onesimus grew in his faith, okay? I mean, wouldn't you love to have the Apostle Paul as your teacher, you know? So, and Onesimus, by the way, had the opportunity then to minister to Paul while he was in prison as well. So, this brings us to the point where, okay, this has been going on, and now Paul wants to help Onesimus kind of deal with his situation with Philemon, okay, because that hasn't been attended to yet. And so in verse 10 of Philemon, here we go. So here's his epistle. This is a letter. Here's what he says. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, pretty amazing, you know, what he writes there. And so this is his plea to Philemon. And Paul is asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus. Okay? Now, you got to keep in mind, you know, what the laws were like in the Roman Empire. Under Roman law, Philemon could have had Onesimus put to death for being a runaway slave. You didn't just get a citation and pay a fine. Okay? And so not only does Paul ask Philemon to forgive Onesimus, but then he wants him to accept him not as a servant, but as a brother, essentially as an equal. Okay? So he's going beyond just forgive, accept him as an equal. And you know, this is a very Christian thing for him to do, because you know, in God's eyes, we're all equal. We're all equal. In Deuteronomy 10:17, we read this, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." And then in Acts 10:34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Romans 2:11, "For there is no respect of persons with God." And then finally, Romans 3:23, a very familiar verse, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So, We all are equal in the eyes of God. We all equally needed a Savior. You know? And we all, if you're saved, we need to grow in the Lord and use the gifts and the talents that He has given us. Okay? And whatever talents He's given you, He gave that to you because He wants you to use it for Him and for His purposes. And where does God accomplish His work? It's through the local church. And so we need to be busy serving for Him and be an encouragement to other brothers and sisters who maybe they're newer in the Lord and they haven't found a place of service. And we just need to share with them, not just, you know, as Pastor has done from the pulpit, but us personally, you know, they should hear from us and just, you know, we just share with them what a joy it is to serve the Lord here in Harvest Baptist Church. Or, you know, there could be people listening to me online who maybe are somewhere else. And, you know, and what I would say is find a good Bible-believing church. Join it, and then serve. So, now, I've given you Paul's plea to Philemon. I want to just take a little moment to consider Philemon's perspective on the matter, okay? Because he has a perspective. You know, Onesimus was a runaway slave. Who had caused him financial loss. And so you can imagine, you know, Philemon, I mean, he's a human being, just like any of us, was probably a bit upset with Onesimus. And then Onesimus, after doing whatever he did, he absconds and takes off. Okay? Think of how you would feel if somebody did that to you. Yes, Brother Mel. Right. Yep. Yep. Just the name means brotherly love. And it just shows you about how God is in such control. Okay. And he puts this short story in there and Onesimus. Okay. And it's short. There's not a lot there, but what is there is very profound. And, you know, and I think, you know, if God, who is infinite in wisdom and power, if he puts something in his word, it's important, and we can learn from it. And so the law permitted a master to execute a rebellious slave. But Philemon was a Christian, okay? So if Philemon forgave Onesimus, what would other masters think? You know, think about that. This is the society that he lives in. Would other slaves follow his lead? You know? But if Philemon punished Onesimus, how would it affect his Christian testimony and his ministry in Colossae? So, you know, I think you can see Philemon was kind of faced with a dilemma, okay, what to do. He was bound by legal and social standards, yet as a believer in Christ, Philemon knew that he was called to a higher standard, okay? And, you know, I think for us, you know, when things happen, sometimes not always pleasant things, we always need to kind of stop and consider, you know, what might be the spiritual dimension to all of this, okay? Because it's so easy to just be in the flesh, you know, and respond that way. But sometimes, you know, things happen, and it's not what we would want to happen. But always remember that, you know, if you have a negative experience, you know, God allowed it to happen in your life. And he's in control. There's nothing that can happen to us that cannot, does not first pass by the throne of God. So Philemon, he had a dilemma, but he knew how to resolve it. And you know, Paul's letter, or his epistle, basically provided Philemon with the advice that he needed. And you know, isn't it wonderful if you've got good Christian friends and brothers that, you know, can give you good godly counsel when you need it? You know, praise God for that. And that's why it's so important for people to find a good church, attend it faithfully, and make those connections. And, you know, because part of the reason why God wants us to be in church is for our edification. It's for our edification. And so what does it mean to edify? You know, in Spanish, I think they have the word edificio, which means a building. And so we're to be built up. And you want it to be a strong building, right? So, well, I try to get here all three times during the week that the services are here, are scheduled, okay? And if you're here just on Sunday morning, that's good, but you're missing out on a lot. And, you know, Sunday evening is wonderful. I mean, praise the Lord for Sunday evening. And, you know, and I find it interesting that, you know, if you look at the book of Acts, the time the church ever met was for a Sunday evening service. So God must think that Sunday evening services are, don't you think? So I don't want to miss it. And then, of course, our Wednesday night, and it's a time, you know, to bring our prayer requests, to make them known. And I have seen, as I've shared with you, I've seen God do some wonderful things in my life with some recent prayer requests that I've had, some for my health, some for, you know, selling this house, you know, that I did. And when you think about it, you know, I'm reading all these articles. I'm kind of deviating here a little bit, but, you know, I'm reading all these articles about the housing market. It's declining, and they're predicting it may fall off a cliff later this year and all that, and they're talking about how homes are typically on the market for 2 to 4 months, and oftentimes in 40% of the cases having to undergo a price reduction. And so I bring it to the church in prayer, and the very next day I've got somebody looking at the house and who happens to be the buyer, and I'm under contract to sell the house in 5 days after it went on the market and for a full price offer. So I'm really bucking the trend here, but you know, God can do anything, right? So praise the Lord for that. And I had brothers and sisters who were praying for me as well. And, you know, God is just wonderful. And so it is good to be in church and to make those connections, to have a brother or, for the women, a sister who can encourage them and strengthen them. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And thank you all for keeping me sharp, as you do. So here's the thing. So what are some key things that we can learn from this story of Onesimus? Well, I think obviously the first one, did you have a comment, Kevin? Okay. Well, to me, the first thing that comes to mind as far as what can we learn, what is God trying to teach us here, is forgiveness, okay? Forgiveness. I'm going to look at some scriptures, but Kevin, if you want to share what you've got. It is. So as Kevin said, and I'll just kind of repeat that for the sake of our folks listening online, is that this story of Philemon and Onesimus has some parallels with the story of the prodigal son, and the main theme here is forgiveness and restoration. And as we'll see too, even though the story basically ends there, there are some clues about what happened to Onesimus after all this, and I'll share that with you. But did you have something? Right. So Brother Darrell's given us sort of a modern example of how. Yes. Well, Also, think about this too. You know, if the person becomes a Christian, okay, so now it's a brother, and we're really not supposed to bring a law. So you know, we. Well, I'm sure that Philemon found it difficult to forgive and accept. However, I think that Paul's letter to him helped. You know, and to accept the fact that Onesimus now has a new position. You know. So it's funny you mentioned Micah. So if you all could, let's turn to Micah, actually chapter 7. And we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. And comes right after Jonah. Micah chapter 7. And we'll start at verse 18. And here's what is written. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Again, forgiveness. You know, there's a Spanish story of a father and a son who had become estranged. Okay, you talk about the prodigal son. This is kind of a parallel to that. The son ran away, and the father set off to find him. And he searched for months, but to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. And the ad read this: Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. Well, on that Saturday at noon, 800 young men named Paco showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. You know, and what I think this story really illustrates is that, you know, the world needs forgiveness. It really does. I think that the lack of forgiveness is cause of a lot of heartache with a lot of people. You know, there's a famous psychiatrist by the name of Carl Menninger. And he once said this. This is very interesting. He said that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could walk out the next day. Okay? Very interesting observation. And, you know, this just really illustrates that what people really need is the gospel, not modern psychiatry. Okay? Because what does modern psychiatry do? It just always takes a clinical approach. And they're wholly unable to address the spiritual needs of the person. And that's really often the determinant, you know, of their mental health, really. Yes. That's right. You know, it's interesting. So, and of course, Mel, of course, is a medical doctor. And he's saying... He's a doctor. Dr. Hoddy just reminded us of the importance of looking to the great physician, not just, you know, the doctors. And you know, that reminds me of the story of two very good men, two kings in the Bible, King Hezekiah and King Asa. And you know what happened? You know, Hezekiah turned to the great physician and was given another 15 years of life. Asa turned to the physicians. There's no mention that he ever turned to God. And it didn't turn out too well for King Asa. Okay? So, yes, we need to appeal to the great physician. Now, my time is running short. What else can we learn from this story? Well, unity. Okay? The church must remain unified. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, it reads this: "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And you know, we're all human beings. It's easy to nitpick on things, okay? But what I think helps keep a church unified, just in my observation, I guess, is if everybody remembers, you know, what is the main thing that the church needs to be doing? That's to make and mature disciples for Christ, is it not? You know, we want to win the lost and then disciple them so that they can grow and then they reach out and win others. So if that's the main thing, then let's keep the main thing, okay, and not be distracted by other things. You know, we have Sunday school because we want to win souls for Christ. We have our morning service because we want to win souls for Christ. We have a music ministry because why? It helps transform people out of the world and get their thoughts onto spiritual things so that we can win souls for Christ. We have chairs that are padded and comfortable because we want people to be here under the sound of the gospel. Okay? Everything that we do either directly or indirectly supports the main thing that we want to do. And real quickly, Brother Mel. Exactly. And, you know, and so what I say to this is, you know, I hope that anybody who joins Harvest Baptist Church makes it a prayerful decision to do so. And if anybody is thinking about leaving the church, I just pray that they would make that a prayerful decision. Do, you know, and follow what the Holy Spirit would have you to do, okay? And, you know, and again, if Harvest Baptist Church is not the church for somebody, okay, no problem. Find a good church that is doctrinally sound. Join it. Be faithful to it. Another thing that we can learn from this story is just the life-changing impact of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We're given a new nature, and we still have our old nature, unfortunately. We'll lose that eventually, okay? But we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to be in church where we can be edified under the sound of some good preaching, and aren't you glad we've got Pastor Cook as our pastor? Yes. Now, I mentioned that we have some clues about Onesimus after his conversion, okay? And we do know that he ministered to Paul. Paul wrote that in his letter. However, in Colossians 4:9, Onesimus is described as a faithful and beloved brother. Okay? So he did continue in the faith. And there actually are extra biblical writings that say that, you know, he went on to head the church at Ephesus and that he was eventually martyred. That's not scripture, okay? It's just, you know, historical accounts, but I would venture to say that Onesimus remained faithful until the end of his life, however it ended. He was never a backslider, okay? And, you know, I think that's partly why, you know, he's mentioned in Scripture. You know, and think about this. It may be a very short account of Onesimus. We may not have a lot to know about Onesimus, but his name will never be forgotten. His name will go on throughout all eternity because the name of Onesimus is written in God's Word, and God's Word will stand forever. You know? So, what a privilege, and an, you know, just a privilege was given to Onesimus. And so, you know, I think it's a good account that was given to us by the Lord, and And you know, and I've probably only scratched the surface of the truths that we can learn from this short story. But what we have learned this morning, we can definitely apply to our lives, even in challenging circumstances. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this story about Onesimus and Philemon. Help us, Lord, to be forgiving and to not be spiteful, and just to not let feelings of spite and revenge, you know, drive a wedge between us and you, Lord. We don't want our fellowship to be strained or broken. Lord, just help us to really just demonstrate and show the love of Christ in how we treat others. I ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.